From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, as you just heard, has died at the age of 88, and we are devoting both hours of the program today to her passing, her life, and her legacy. She, of course, has been a voice for Western New York in Congress since 1986, when she was first elected. Louise Slaughter defeated Fred Eckert by 1 point in those 1986 midterms. And she would go on to serve more than 3 decades. That was, by the way, an earth-shaking win back in 1986. Slaughter was the first woman elected to Congress in Western New York, the first Democrat elected to what was that at the time, the 30th Congressional District. She served in leadership roles, never wavered in her desire to work in Washington and to continue to serve. Born in Lynch, Kentucky, Louise Slaughter had a distinctive drawl, but she was proudly part of Western New York. And she dies with a long legacy in Congress and a legion of friends and admiring colleagues. So for both of these hours today, we're going to have this conversation. You're going to hear from a number of voices on from various backgrounds, from both major political parties, people who knew her well, served with her in Congress. Tom Reed will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. You'll hear from former mayors. You will hear from the county executive coming up in about 10 minutes. And you'll hear from a number of women who were inspired by Louise Slaughter to run for office and to serve in the ways that they have pursued elective office. So there's so much to talk about with Louise Slaughter. We also want to invite your phone calls if you want to share your thoughts as well. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. I have a number of comments from listeners on social media, emails this morning, and people sharing their thoughts on what Louise Slaughter's legacy is going to be. I want to bring in our CEO, Norm Silverstein, is in studio with me now, because of all the people who had a chance to know her, I think you're the person who talked to her most recently, just not too many days ago.
Less than 2 weeks ago, we were in Washington to talk about the importance of federal funding for public broadcasting. We spent over half an hour with Louise. She was always there for us. I mean, she was our champion on the Hill, and she was also champion of the arts. Everyone in the arts community knows that. And there's never going to be another person like Louise.
We say that, and I think we can say that, Norm, in a way that is not partisan and in a way that is just factual. There's plenty of Democrats and Republicans who are champions for the arts. But as you say, she was not just a champion for public broadcasting and the arts. She was consistently that voice for, I think Beth Adams said, the third longest tenured voice in Congress we can remember. So she had a knowledge of just about everything, didn't she? She knew everybody.
Oh, yeah. It was she was co-chair of the bipartisan Congressional Arts Caucus. So you're right. I mean, we're not talking about this not Democrat-Republican issue. She was there for everyone in the arts. She was always there for this community. And she never, never failed to give us time to talk about our issues. I would reminisce a little bit that she was the first person I met from Rochester after I was appointed president of WXXI more than 20 years ago. I went up to the Hill. I think she spent between 1 and 2 hours with me talking about all of the needs of the Rochester community and said WXXI needed to be there to help solve some of these problems, particularly in education. And that really stuck with me.
What did she think about the fight over public broadcasting?
She thought that public broadcasting, public media was essential to democracy, and she was one of our strongest advocates. We knew that she always voted with us. She would stand up on the floor of the House and speak on our behalf. And when she was chair of the Rules Committee, she used her power to make sure that bills that tried to defund us, that they never slid through very easily.
I want to, if we could, play a little bit of sound, because Louise Slaughter was the very first guest we had on Connections when I had a chance to start hosting this program in 2014. And if I remember correctly, it was CEO Norm Silverstein who pulled a few strings to get her on the phone with us that first day. But what you're going to hear is the introduction and the hello and some of Louise Slaughter's thoughts, because I went back and listened to this. I like thinking about Louise Slaughter as someone who loved science, someone who truly passionately loved engaging in a wide range of issues. Sometimes, as Norm knows, you get a chance to talk to a politician, but they want to keep it to 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
She was the only microbiologist in the House.
She was so proud of that. So let's listen to the introduction. This is the very first Connections that I had a chance to host, and Louise was the very first guest, and you're going to hear her voice talking about all the way back 60-plus years to her thesis on biology. Let's listen to that day. Our connection this hour was first made in 1954. A 25-year-old student at the University of Kentucky was writing her master's thesis on the subject of antibiotic resistance. Even in the 1950s, there were questions about whether Americans were being over-medicated or if the proliferation of effective medicine might eventually spawn a kind of backlash within our own bodies. That 25-year-old student went on to earn her master's in public health, and eventually she went to Congress. Today, nearly 60 years after that master's thesis, Congresswoman Louise Slaughter is more concerned than ever about antibiotic resistance, but now she's turned her attention to the farm. Or to be more specific, she's turned her attention to factory farming, where healthy animals are routinely pumped with drugs. And her concern is that those drugs remain in the food we eat, and she's concerned we're all at risk because of it. Congresswoman Slaughter is our guest for the hour, and that's just one of the many subjects we're going to discuss.
Yes.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, I'm really taken back somewhat by your introduction there. I will tell you that it wasn't until I got involved in this issue again that I remembered I had done my thesis on it. And it was being put, they were being put into toothpaste, mouthwash, everything else you could think of. It's sort of the way that you've been used on farms today. And people were dying of anaphylactic shock. And you're certainly right. It has not let up. My concern is even graver today because we, I think, are on the verge of destroying what is one of the most life-saving and probably the most important addition to medical science in history, and that's the advent of the antibiotic.
That is Louise Slaughter from our very first program that I had a chance to host back on January 6, 2014. And listen to what people are saying on Twitter. Deborah says, as Norm just said, only microbiologist in Congress, her scientific background mattered. Jim says, Rochester just lost a powerful advocate for science and research. At the same time, the administration wants to shut down the laboratory for laser energetics. We want to be a center of excellence in optics, and the LLE is a cornerstone of that. Tom says on Twitter, this is like losing family. She has been a tremendous and tireless advocate for the region's optics and photonics industry. Her contributions to the region and the nation are legion. Just nominated her in November for the National Women's Hall of Fame. And Dr. Susan Spencer says, talked to her for the first time a month ago, and it was like meeting a rock star for me. She has been one of my heroes. This is absolutely devastating news. Those are just some of the many voices highlighting Norm Silverstein, her work in science. This is a woman who was a scientist, who cared deeply about science and never stopped caring about science.
And she talked about the NIH. She was always interested in issues affecting women's health, breast cancer, so many things. I mean, I can say that there was never a dull conversation with Louise, and she always was happy to give you her time. And don't you love that accent? You know what she used to kid about? She always called herself a coal miner's daughter from Kentucky.
There is a great hashtag now, Norm, right now that, let's see here. Somebody just pointed this out to us. It's the hashtag on Twitter, Louise Memories. And this is from the president of the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka, who says, sad to learn of Louise Slaughter's passing. Working people will miss her voice in Congress, and I will miss our conversations about our coal miner fathers.
Right. You know, she was tough as nails. That's the expression that people used about her. And, you know, I don't say it about a lot of politicians, but, you know, I loved her. I really did. She cared so much for the work that we do. I mean, without advocates like Louise Slaughter in Congress, I don't know that we'd have an XXI as vibrant as it is today. I don't know that public media would be as strong. She was always a fighter for us and always a fighter for the arts. And when she could, she definitely could direct money to the arts and to things that were really important to this community.
I'm going to grab a phone call. We'll grab phone calls coming up here. Again, it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255. But Norm, you know, going back and listening to that, the bulk of that hour that we had with her on my first day hosting the program, I was struck by something that is maybe a kind of a strange comparison, but she reminded me of how Tom Golisano strikes me. It doesn't matter their political background. It doesn't matter whom they're talking to. They do not want you to pull punches. They like to engage. They like to hear from the opposition, and they could take it. They could dish it out. They could take it. Louise Slaughter was like that day with some of our callers. I think that's a great hallmark of someone with a vast mind who is willing to engage. And sounds like she was always that way.
Oh, yeah, and you should have seen her on the floor of the House when some of the bills came up to try to defund us. Or defund NEA or the NEH. She was a fighter. And if you didn't know Louise when she started talking, you remembered her when she was finished. She was articulate and she was strong. And, you know, it's almost hard to talk about her because, you know, we just became close over a course of 20 years. And as I said, the first person I went to see after I was appointed president was to talk to Louise Slaughter. And she knew everything about the problems in education, in poverty in Rochester. And she gave me a lesson before I came up here. And it stuck with me.
She was 88 years old, and after serving roughly 32 years in Congress, gave no indication that she would not run again. Did you ever have any private conversations? Did she even hint about that? Do you want to break any news here?
No, I can tell you she never said she was not running again. I think she fully intended to serve at least another term. I don't know after that. I mean, she was 88,
But that's what people said when she was 78.
Well, if you saw the energy she had still.
I know it. I know.
Walking, I mean, you know, keeping up with her when she was, she had a broken leg. She didn't resign. She didn't retire when that happened a few years ago. And every time I've seen her, she's always been full of energy and always, like you say, willing to rough it up.
I want to ask you, you know, looking at the process now, according to the U.S. Constitution and state law, the governor of New York State could call for a special election. I know we've got midterms coming up here, and so, you know, so we're going to try to follow the process as best we can. And sometimes, depending on how close you are to a midterm election, you know, maybe there won't be an appointment, or maybe there won't be a special election that they'll point to. We're still waiting to hear, but. You know, this is not about us. This is not about public broadcasting. But I will ask you, if you are concerned now that with the loss of Louise Slaughter, who was a leading light in protecting funding for the arts and for public broadcasting, if you are concerned about what happens next.
Well, I think that we have a lot of friends now on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, in part because we had people like Louise who supported us. And I'm not concerned about funding going forward, but I'm concerned that there won't be that light in Congress for the arts that has been there for so many years with Louise. No one's going to be able to take her place, but there are people who support the arts, who support public media, and I hope someone steps up and takes that mantle.
You know, Norm, she was first elected in the mid-1980s, and there's a lot of talk, and I don't know if it's apocryphal or if it's accurate, that in those days, you know, Republicans and Democrats could slug it out and go have a beer. And that now it's all vitriol. It's the cable news era. It's really nasty and negative. So I want to ask you two things, because your career is slightly longer than mine. I want to ask you, number one, if you think she, you know, she comes out of a different era, is that why she has so many friends? We're about to hear from Cheryl Denolfo, the Republican county executive, who was a friend. She has so many friends who are Republicans and Democrats, and I think that is increasingly rare these days. Is that a product of the era, or was it always nasty and vitriolic in politics, and that was a product of the person of Louise Slaughter?
I think that things have really changed over the years, and people could slug it out and then sit down at the end of the day and have a glass of wine or a beer, and that's much rarer today. But the one thing that you should not ignore is she was a trailblazer and an advocate for women's rights and so many women in elected office from both parties. I think they really have a debt to pay for someone like Louise, who was one of the first. I mean, this goes back beyond her congressional career. She served in state offices. So here was someone who really was a role model for women in politics. And I don't think it matters if you're a Republican, conservative party, Democrat. You know, people will look at her and say that she paved the way for so many others.
Well, here's Susan Milligan, hashtag Louise Memories on Twitter. Susan Milligan, who's worked for Congress, she says, I remember going to dinner with her not too many years ago, then dragging my sorry, semi-hungover butt to the Hill the next day. Louise Slaughter, 33 or so years older than me, had been there since early morning, working hard and seemingly unaffected by our late evening. It's a nice memory, and again, just so many memories like that of Louise Slaughter working tirelessly, but passing away at the age of 88, but didn't really slow down, certainly not mentally. As Norm said, you know, she had a broken leg at one point, but, you know, essentially unslowed until the very end.
You know, the toughest thing she went through in the past few years was the loss of her husband, Bob. Mm-hmm. They were a team. And, you know, I think after that, it was a little more difficult for her. Bob was her driver. He was her companion. And she never got over that. But what you said about how she had that energy, you know, sometimes my wife and I would be out at an event and it would be late and she would be there and she always took time to talk to us. And then her aide, Bobby Wilson, would be pulling on her sleeve saying, we have to get to the next event. You know, and all we'd be thinking about is getting home and going to sleep. But she always had somewhere else she had to be. Amazing.
I want to bring in Cheryl DeNolfo, Monroe County Executive, who is on the line with us now. Cheryl, thanks for taking the time, and I know it's a tough day for a lot of people. Why don't you start just by sharing some thoughts on the passing of Congresswoman Louise Slaughter?
Well, Evan, thanks for devoting the show to the legacy and the tribute to our Congresswoman Louise Slaughter. You know, she was a real force here in Monroe County. When I look at Louise Slaughter and I think about what she did for Monroe County, you know, here was a female leader, boots on the ground, starting out, at the lower levels of government, from County Ledge, the Assembly, to Congress. But one of the things that I most appreciated about Louise is that, you know, she remembered people first. She never forgot who she was. She was always true to her principles, her values. She put her family first, whether you were talking about her husband, Bob, her children, her nephews, always family first, and remembering that those were the values at the foundation of our community. And she fought for families, whether we're talking about, you know, jobs or education, services, Louise was always there.
Cheryl, can I ask you, you know, your interaction with her from a work capacity? You know, you're a Republican, and you and Louise Slaughter see eye to eye on some things. You didn't see eye to eye on certain things, but in some capacities had to work together, looking at different projects and ideas. And I wonder if you can just share a little bit about what that was like, because as CEO Norm Silverstein was just saying, it sort of feels like a bygone era when Republicans and Democrats could feel comfortable in the same room, working together, maybe not agreeing on everything, but still being congenial. Can you kind of relate what that was like with Louise Slaughter?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the learning lessons of watching Louise Slaughter and her career progression. She never forgot that it's people first. And I'll tell you what, that's something that I learned from her. It's always people first. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. This is one community of Monroe. And she believed in that, and I believe in it, and I think that's why we were able to get along so well. You know, I'd see Louise Slaughter at lots of events, just like you did, and, certainly work events and other events, and you'd see her, and she'd come right up to you, hey, Cheryl, how you doing? She'd put her arm around you. How's your family? You know, what are you working on? Eyes would be twinkling. She had a big smile on her face, very affable. And she meant that, you know, how are you doing? How's your family doing? And what are you working on? And how can I be helpful? It wasn't about being a Democrat or Republican. It was about one community. What can we work on together? And, we always met in the middle and figured things out. She was a strong advocate for this community, and we're going to miss her.
And Cheryl, before I let you go, why don't you let our listeners know what you think will come to mind first for you in the future when you think of Louise Slaughter and the work she did? What will come to mind for you first?
Well, besides her tremendous presence everywhere she was, you always knew where Louise Slaughter was. If you walked in a room and Louise Slaughter was there, you just knew it. You could feel her energy. You could feel her vibrancy. You could feel her passion wherever she was. When I look at what her imprint on this community is, you can't help but look at her strong dedication to education, to our colleges and universities. She believed in the colleges and universities and research, making sure that this community had the building blocks for entrepreneurs, for economic development. She knew that putting people to work was incredibly important in this community, and I'll remember her for that and her commitment to the workforce and the people here in this community. But most of all, she just loves people, and she really did have a fierce passion for the people here in this community, and she got things done.
Cheryl, thanks for taking the time for us again. I know it's a sad day for so many people, no matter our political backgrounds. Go ahead.
That's right. Our thoughts obviously go out to Louise's family, her friends, and really to everybody here in this community. I think, what I've shared with you is probably the interaction that most people had with Louise. She's someone that we can always learn from and that we'll remember fondly.
Thank you for taking the time, Cheryl. I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, guys.
Cheryl Donolfo is Monroe County Executive, sharing her thoughts on the passing of Congressman Louis Slaughter. CEO Norm Silverstein's in studio with us for another minute or so, and I just want to ask you just for some final thoughts from you as you think about Louis Slaughter. I asked Cheryl, and I'm going to ask a lot of people today, what will you think of first when you think of Louis Slaughter?
I'm going to think of someone who really cared about people, who, as Cheryl said, she always sought you out when you went to an event, and she always had that big smile when she saw you, and, you know, when she said... She said to me every time I met with her, how's that lovely wife of yours doing? And she was serious. You know, she wasn't giving you platitudes. She cared about people. And I'm going to miss her.
You're going to hear from another a number of other people involved with local politics. You're going to hear from women who were inspired by Louis Slaughter. You're going to hear from people who are sharing their thoughts on how their careers and their lives have changed because of the work of Louis Slaughter. And I want to, again, remind our listeners, if you want to call in and share your thoughts on the passing of Congressman Louis Slaughter at the age of 88, you can do that now. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Louis Slaughter was first elected in 1986, and there's still some confusion about what happens next. Some of our listeners have been asking about that. And, you know, the rules, there are sort of federal rules, and then states have their own laws. But the last time this came up, it was then Governor David Patterson who chose to set a special election on the same day as the general election. And so there was not a need for a special election that close to a general election. But in this case, we don't yet know. We haven't heard from Governor Cuomo on what the intention is going to be regarding perhaps a special election, or whether there will be just sort of rolling that into the general election in November with the midterms. So that's a question that will be settled, and I'm sure that a lot of reporting will be done on that. We wanted to avoid as much as we can in the first few hours after finding out about Louis Slaughter's passing, the speculation that will inevitably come with what Democrats will do about trying to fill this seat and what Republicans will do. There will be time for those conversations, and certainly there will be a lot of speculation, and there will be significant names in our community who might put themselves in position for that seat. But today is a day to think about Congresswoman Louis Slaughter and her life and legacy. And I want to listen to a little bit more, if we could, and I'll ask producer Megan Mack and Mike Black behind the glass. I think we've got more sound. Our colleague Veronica Volk covered the recent reelection of Congresswoman Louis Slaughter, and I think we can listen to a little bit more from that. So, Mike, do we have that sound? So let's listen to Louise Slaughter on election night. This is her, another triumphant re-election. She had a lot of those. This is Louise Slaughter elected once again. Here she is.
Well, thank you. Oh, well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Oh. Oh. You know, this is really a bittersweet day. Members of
Congress was a woman. And that's Louis Slaughter with Norm Silverstein just walking out. Norm and I were just talking about the fact that this is the birthplace of women's rights in Western New York. And CEO and I were just talking about the fact that one of the longest serving members of Congress is a woman, Louise Slaughter, a trailblazing woman, the first woman elected to what at the time was the 30th congressional district. And of course, it has changed over the years. But at the time, that was the first woman elected to that district and the first woman elected to Congress in Western New York. So a trailblazing woman, and Louise Slaughter being remembered by many people at the age of 88. I want to bring in another voice to the conversation. It is Carrie Andrews, who has a long history in local Democratic politics. And Carrie, I think you're on the line now. Carrie, how are you?
I'm well, Evan. How are you?
I'm good. I think everybody is trying to kind of take stock of what today means. And for our listeners, Carrie is the New York State United Teachers Rochester Office Regional Staff Director and was Democratic Minority Leader in the Monroe County Legislature, serving as a legislator from 2005 through 2015. So local politics in many ways, but how big of a figure was Louis Slaughter in your life, Carrie?
Well, she was huge, like so many people are saying and are reflecting on today. I mean, Louise impacted our region and served our region for decades, and there are a few other people you can point to who have had that many years in office and have had such a big impact on a community. So she, you know, for our whole region, was everything, really. It was big, so big in Washington and here in Rochester and surrounding area. And then for me personally, you know, as a woman who was getting involved in politics at a younger age, you know, I looked up to her as a role model and as somebody who had done it and been there in times that were tougher than the times I was serving in, because she was groundbreaking in getting into politics at a time when there were so few women who were there, and persevering and fighting and standing up for what she believed in and representing all of us so admirably for so many years.
I want to read what some of our listeners have said about their thoughts on Louise Slaughter's legislative achievements or achievements in Congress, and then I want to get your thoughts on what will come to mind first when it comes to what she was able to accomplish in her congressional career. This just runs the gamut here. Holly Anderson from the Breast Cancer Coalition says Louise Slaughter was an advocate's advocate, our deepest gratitude to her and for her. As she continues now in her journey, we will never forget her kindness to us on Capitol Hill. Heather Hare writes to us and says, devotion to public service, a willingness to speak her mind, and her dedication to science and her constituents. So a lot of people talking about Louise Slaughter advocating for scientists and for science on Capitol Hill. Jeremy says Louise Slaughter was instrumental in ensuring SAFER, that's staffing for adequate fire and emergency response, grant delivery in Monroe County. That support is, was, and remains critical to protecting us and our neighbors. And then I can't tell you how many people are mentioning the Violence Against Women Act. Dina says so many legislative victories for women, the Violence Against Women Act that she co-authored. Chris Thomas says, hands down, Violence Against Women Act is Louise Slaughter's top legislative achievement. So there's a lot there. And I wonder for you, Carrie Andrews, what stands out the most?
Yeah, I agree with what everyone's writing in about. Absolutely, the Violence Against Women Act is huge. I mean, what groundbreaking legislation, and is so important in the conversation about how to make sure women feel safe and are safe, and that there's adequate resources to combat domestic violence. So that is absolutely at the top of my list. She was a longtime advocate for women's rights. You know, I always took comfort knowing that she was there fighting for issues that matter, you know, to me as a woman and to women's and for women's health. Sitting in my role now at NYSED, certainly she was always a friend to teachers and a long time so committed to public education and to making sure teachers have the resources that they need and champion funding for schools and making sure that all kids go to school, you know, prepared and that teachers are able to teach and excel and make sure that schools are adequately funded, certainly. And I agree with the comments about science. I think that she was one of few, if not the only, scientists to serve in Congress, and to bring that perspective there is just vitally important, especially in this age where there's so much questioning about and non-belief about what the scientific community says about climate change or whatever the issues are. You know, it's just helpful to have somebody there who knows the facts and understands science.
And finally, I'm looking at even more comments rolling in. Jim says she was a principal proponent in the creation of the Office of Research on Women's Health at the NIH. Lindsay says Louise Slaughter was the first and only woman to chair the Rules Committee, and she passed the Stock Act, which was, as far as ethics reforms go, historic. She was walking history. And Lindsay's point's a good one there. The Stock Act is meant to prevent members of Congress from getting sort of insider tips and being able to profit from them. So just a very broad body of work that wasn't just focused on any single pet issue, et cetera. And Carrie, I'll close with this. Now that you're at NYSET with New York State United Teachers, what do you think Louise Slaughter's legacy is when it comes to education, supporting educators, and how will you remember her in that way?
Well, I remember her just for, you know, every time I ever talked to her everything she fought for in Congress and before that when she was in local government and state government was supporting public education and supporting educators and everyone else who works in schools and recognizing the hard work that they do and how important public education is, that it's the beginning of children's lives, and it's so critical to laying a great foundation at that point so people can go on and be successful in their future life. And Louise got it. You know, she just always stood up for what was right and what she believed in and was a tireless fighter. And that sort of ability and commitment to furthering people's lives will be greatly missed. And she was just always there.
By the way, Carrie, I could also, and I'm not going to, I could read a few emails that are, I would say, pretty misogynistic. And look, I have no problem when we talk about the work of political leaders trying to prevent moving into hagiography. I mean, we are trying to talk very honestly about someone's legislative career, and some listeners are not going to be all that supportive of the legislative work she did. That's fine. But I could read some really sort of dark, misogynistic stuff. I'm not going to do that, and that's unfortunate. But in that light, Carrie, you mentioned the trail that Louise Slaughter blazed for women, and you worked in politics for 10 years, more than 10 years locally. Has it gotten any easier? Do you think the work that she did as a trailblazer has made it at least a bit different for women, or do you think it is still there's still a long way to go there?
Well, great question. I think it really probably depends on how you look at it. Personally, I think the president sends a terrible tone, and there, in some ways, you could argue we're going a bunch of steps backwards by having that sort of behavior that he sort of embodies, displayed every day at the top, at the highest level in the nation. On the other hand, I think kind of the response that you're seeing from that and across the board from women stepping up and saying, nope, this is my time. We're not going to sit still and stand for this. Women are coming together and really moving forward in great numbers, which is awesome to see. So, I have to believe that it was easier for me in the, between the late 2000s to serve in local government than it was for Congresswoman Slaughter to do that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, because, time is progressing and things get better, but it's still a fight. It's still a fight. When I was in the legislature, we never had even half of the legislature made up of women locally. But we do have a lot of great female leaders in our area, and we're continuing to forge forward. But it's definitely, there's work to be done in that area.
Carrie Andrews is the New York State United Teachers Rochester Office Regional Staff Director and was Democratic Minority Leader in the Monroe County Legislature. She served as a legislator from 2005 through 2015. Thanks for taking the time. I know it's a hard day for a lot of people in Western New York, but thank you, Carrie, for your thoughts and for joining the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and my thoughts and prayers are with everyone today.
All right, that's Carrie Andrews joining us. Let me get back to your phone calls. I see the phone ringing. I want to bring in next, let's go to Casey in Rochester, who's got a story to share. Go ahead, Casey.
Hi, Evan. I hope everybody's doing well. I just wanted to relate a story. Some years ago, I was traveling for work, and I had the opportunity to be sitting somewhat next to Louise as she was also traveling, and I happened to have that rare occasion of being the fly on the wall as she was on her cell phone talking with her office and so on. And not to forget that she not only was a real worker that could, a politician that could work both sides of the aisle, but that she also had to also work and be an advocate for people within her own party. She happened to be working on something with one of the projects that was getting opposition from, I believe it was the Clinton administration at the time, and, it was Hillary this and Hillary that, and I was chuckling to myself that there's someone sitting there who's really working and having a tough time, even within her own party, on our behalf, and that impressed me like crazy. It really did. I didn't often or always agree with her politics or whatnot, but that old-fashioned work both sides for the betterment of her constituents, and trust me, and I think we are going to be missing that today. Thanks.
Casey, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate the reflections from him. And listeners, if you want to join the program, you can call in. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. In Parenton, this is Pat next on the phone. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Evan. I'm the leader of the Parenton Democratic Committee. And Louise was one of our longest serving members. There are two other members of our committee that were her contemporaries. And I think one thing that Louise would want us to remember is out Louise's back kitchen window, she could see a grove of trees known as Hart's Woods. And that was a group of trees that were native species to the area that she saw were under plans to be developed. And that was really the beginning of her activism in our community. And I think she would really want people to remember that activism doesn't begin by running for Congress. It begins by looking out your front door and your back door and being aware of what's happening in your neighborhood and in your community. And that's really where people like she and Irene Gosen and other giants from the late 60s and early 70s began, just by being aware of what was happening in their community, in our community in Fairport. And our hearts are broken by her passing. But we learned an immense amount by just being with her. And every time I drive down South Main Street at her house, I'll be looking at her kitchen window, remembering all that she did for us.
Pat, I hear the emotion in your voice, and I'm really grateful for your phone call. If you feel like you're up for it, I'd love to ask you one quick follow-up question.
Sure.
You know, you are describing something that is not glamorous. And here's a tweet from a woman named Ginny who says, "This seems tiny and pre-Congress, but her activism in saving Hearts, Woods, and Fairport has been inspirational to me and left a beautiful legacy in our neighborhood." And I'm glad you called with that story, because sometimes what we look for in political leaders are big ticket projects, the kinds of things where their name is going to be on it, massive infrastructure, stadiums, and things like that. But for the most part, doing the work of government is kind of drudgery. It's hard, and it requires a willingness to meet on issues that might seem hyperlocal, esoteric, and to really listen. And not everybody wants to do that. So I want, if you could, for you to share with our listeners, you know, what it was like having a member of Congress who is willing to do that when not everyone does that.
Yeah, I mean, activism is not about the glamorous things. It's not about cocktail parties and fundraisers and events like that. It's about the things that we're dealing with in Parenton now, like the noxious odors coming from our area landfill and the battle that is happening with everyday people who just want things that prevent them from enjoying their everyday life to stop, or people who are looking for work to have an easier time doing it. And that's what Louise was famous for. I mean, there are person after person in our community that have encountered Louise in Wegmans, the Parenton Wegmans, where she shopped. Or, you know, coming back from a trip from Washington, you know, being able to ride with her and coach. You know, it was not glamorous, and it was not a glamorous life. It was about ordinary people doing ordinary things. And she inspired a whole new generation. I mean, really, she's the mother and grandmother of the modern political committees that we have, whether it's in the city or in Parenton, that inspire us to look at the everyday issues that there are and just look at them from a critical eye. You know, what's wrong with this picture? Why is this happening? How can this community be better? And I think she brought out those better angels of ourselves. And I think that's really what politics is. I mean, it gets a bad rap for a lot of different reasons. And some of it is, it's very hard work. When we were fielding candidates last year for town offices, you know, we just basically were very honest with people about what the work was of campaigning. And it was meeting your neighbors and asking them how things are going. It was that simple. And it wasn't about the glamorous. It was about the everyday. It was about, you know, the little kid who was pulling on their mom or dad's coat because they needed attention, or their need to head off to a grocery store, or raking leaves in the front yard and stopping to have a conversation with a candidate. That really is what public service is. And it's the ability for those who have the privilege of holding elective office to take time to listen and to fight for those who are in a tight spot.
Pat, thanks for the phone call and for sharing your thoughts. I really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Listeners, I see a lot of phone calls coming in, and we're sharing your thoughts. If you're just joining us, Congressman Louise Slaughter passing away today at the age of 88. Louise Slaughter first elected to Congress in 1986, and as far as we know, the third longest serving member of Congress. So more than 30 years. Let me get back to some of your phone calls. And this is Elizabeth in Rochester. I think this is Elizabeth McDade from the Safe and Efficient Homes Initiative. Is that right, Elizabeth?
It is, Evan, but I'm calling on behalf of the Coalition to Prevent Lead Poisoning this morning.
You know, Louise was an early supporter and advocate for lead poisoning prevention, for the work that our community has done, for being able to secure funds so that our community could actually become a national model. And not only has she immeasurably improved the lives of families and children living in this community, but across the country. I mean, if you, you know, she was somebody who was an early supporter of this work, an early advocate. And if you look on her Facebook page, the last post she posted was about lead poisoning prevention and call in holding people accountable to make sure that we are keeping families safe from this. And, you know, she was somebody that we worked with over the years, but she wasn't somebody that we had to keep bugging. She was somebody who took this important message on, who understood that she had to stay informed. She routinely checked in with the coalition. She wanted to make sure that she and her staff were educated and on top of whatever was most important to be addressed. And I am devastated by the loss of this lion, this person that that has really been a public servant and an advocate for our community and for our country.
Well, thanks for taking the time to call the program and share your thoughts, Elizabeth. Very much appreciated today.
Thank you.
All right. So many listeners doing that. I want to bring in another voice who has been central to local Democratic politics. Listeners, if you're on the line, Barbara, Susan, Manon, we're going to try to get you in just a moment here. So please stay there. I want to bring in Molly Clifford, who is on the line with us, a member of Rochester City Council and was the chair of the local Democratic Party. When, Molly, remind me when that was.
Oh, from 2003 to 2005.
Okay. So, and I'm probably shortening unfairly your resume, by the way. I don't mean to do that.
Oh, that is quite okay. It's really Louise's day. And, you know, I've known Louise pretty much my whole life, the Slaughter family as well, and really want to send out my thoughts and sympathies to them today.
What is her legacy to you?
Well, I think it's definitely threefold. So I was at a neighborhood meeting this morning, Charles Neighbors in Action in the Josanna neighborhood, and literally 20 people in the room, they had just found out that she had passed, and they all just shared stories, words of, you know, grief, talking about some of the projects that she had supported in the neighborhood, including Youth Build, you know, that had built a house in the Josanna neighborhood. You know, I feel like she was really Rochester's family congresswoman, right? She was a part of everybody's family. She was just someone that you felt like you knew, whether you knew her or not. And that was really part of her power. So there's that. There's obviously the community support, Jefferson Avenue, U of R and RIT, so much work that she has done on behalf of the community itself, and then our infrastructure projects like the train station. I mean, you know, without her, Rochester would look very, very different.
What do you think about some of what the conversation we've had this hour about her work as in trailblazing, simply as a woman in politics? I mean, we heard from Christina on Twitter who just said, you know, I grew up in the Finger Lakes in the 80s and 90s, and simply put, her legacy, she was a woman in politics. Now, Christina goes on to say, you know, she worked in the Violence Against Women Act, that she did work right in the field of breast cancer and so many other things. But just the work as a woman in politics in the mid-1980s, winning a congressional election when they were almost exclusively won by men at the time. Do you share the view that she was a trailblazing woman in that way, Molly? And do you think that in her 3+ decades in Congress and the impact on local politics, has the climate of politics changed for women in Western New York?
Yes. You know, I think many of us wish it had changed more. But she certainly was a trailblazer. And really, without her, we wouldn't have some of the other female elected officials that are around today. She was terrific at recruiting candidates, really talking to women about what it was like to run for office. And, you know, some people do forget, and Pat's testimony was a great one about her run for county legislature in Fairport. She ran 3 times before she won. And, you know, people forget that, you know, she wasn't always Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, right? She just worked very, very hard. She really had a commitment to the community. And, you know, let's face it, she took no prisoners, too. And I think that was great for candidates to hear. Like, you know, you don't have to apologize for anything. If you're doing the right thing, public service is absolutely a respectable, honest profession as long as you keep it that way. So, and she did.
All right, last question for you then. What a great point to focus on. We've been focused on the fact that she gets elected in 1986 and she never loses again. But you, right, knowing how difficult politics is, you focus on the fact that she didn't always win. What's the message for others who want to serve?
You just hang in there. And, you know, having that story of Louise was really effective when I was out talking to candidates about running, because it sort of made it real to people, like, oh, okay, I might not win the first time, but that doesn't mean my life is over. I can continue on. I can fight for what I believe in. And that's absolutely what she did all the way along.
Molly Clifford, member of City Council, former chair of the Democratic Party locally, among many other things on the resume. Thanks for taking the time on a difficult day here in Western New York, Molly. Thank you so much.
Thanks for doing the tribute, Evan.
You got it. All right, let's get back to your phone calls, listeners, and we're going to go to Penfield. This is Barbara next. Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, hi, Evan. Barbara Moore, and I'm very active with the local chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women, and we've truly lost a friend today. Oh, she was such a powerful role model for women. One of the signs that we often hold at rallies says, elect women now. And boy, we worked for her, but she served us so well. She was unabashedly for women's reproductive rights. She understood the importance of women making their own health care decisions. She supported abortion rights. She was my congresswoman. I was very proud to have her as my own. And it was so nice that I didn't have to lobby her, you know. I didn't have to explain things to her about women and our health care and rights and the need to help the poor. She understood that in her bones. So what we did was we thanked her, which was, it was nice not to have to convince or educate somebody. So, you know, I think when I think of her, I think she really was somebody who could live the Susan B. Anthony famous quote that failure is impossible. She did not give up, and she worked so tirelessly for women and the unforgotten, or the forgotten, I should say, in our community, the poor, everything, and we're just devastated.
Barbara, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Again, I know a difficult day for a lot of people. Barbara's with the National Organization for Women. Thank you very much for calling the program today, Barbara.
Thank you.
All right, let me go to Susan in Rochester. Next up, go ahead, Susan.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad people are reflecting back on the days in the 70s when Louise, with a number of local Democrats, got together to work on concerns of, in our community, men's and women's concerns. And I just had the opportunity to see her in the airport a couple months ago and thanked her for standing up for us. And I thought she left me with some wonderful words because she said, you keep standing up. All of us, not the political leaders, but she just reminded us, me, that we still all need to keep fighting for what's important to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. It's a great story. I mean, it's a great story because what Susan is reflecting is Louise Slaughter and a member of Congress for more than 30 years, reminding her that the power should be with the people, not just with elected political leaders, and that people can stand up, and that a really beautiful story there. Let's get Mary in Rochester, who also has a story to share about Congresswoman Louise Slaughter. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, thank you for this wonderful show. I flew with her in the 80s after it was Veterans Day here in Rochester, and advocated for a student of mine who was studying at GW. And Louise accommodated her. She worked in her office, but we were standing there talking. It had snowed in Rochester, and she said she would go to D.C. and stand on the Capitol steps and watch them shoveling salt off the back of a flatbed truck, and knew that she was in an entirely different place. So her wonderful sense of humor, along with all the other marvelous things that we think of when we think of Louise Slaughter, but accommodating students and being funny. It was great in so many ways. Thank you.
She was funny. Mary, quick question for you then. Are you still there, Mary?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I mean, what you're relating is something that's really human. And sometimes we hold political leaders with maybe a little too much reverence, or we hold them in sort of like this ethereal plane that we can't touch. And Louise Slaughter, from what we're hearing from listeners like you, was very much accessible, you know, and very much down to earth. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yes, she was smart, she was kind, and a real mensch.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks for the phone call. A lot of great stories that our listeners are sharing. I mentioned earlier that there is a hashtag Louise Memories on Twitter. So there's some neat and frankly some funny stories there, some really beautiful sentiments and stories there. So you can check that out if you like. You can find us on Twitter at Evan Dawson or at M Mac Media. That's producer Megan Mack. We are collecting some of your thoughts that you're sharing about Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, who passed away this morning at the age of 88. And we are also taking your phone calls. We're going to do this for the next hour as well. We're devoting both hours of the program today. This is just one of those days where the earth has moved in Western New York. And I want to stress again, it doesn't matter if you are a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, a member of the Green Party. It doesn't matter what your background is in politics. This is someone who served for more than 30 years. And if you liked her work or not, she was massively influential and pretty accessible. As members of Congress go, you're hearing that. We've got a lot of stories from people saying that they would have conversations bumping into her in the grocery store and that she was always just happy to stop and chat. And that can't be easy when everyone knows who you are, everyone knows your name, everyone knows your voice, and that was true for Louise Slaughter. And so the fact that she was willing to do that and made people and her constituents feel like they had her ear is a powerful symbol. And you can see exactly what that means with her passing because of the emotion. These days, people don't have a whole lot of emotion for political leaders. There's a lot of cynicism about Congress. And you heard from Pat in Parenton and many others, the emotion that comes with the loss of a member of Congress in Louise Slaughter. So if you want to continue to join the program and share your thoughts, you can do that. And for the next hour, we're going to hear from a number of other people. Congressman Tom Reed is going to join us. Bill Johnson, former mayor of Rochester, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, and more. Congressman Louise Slaughter has died at the age of 88. She's been a voice for Western New York in Congress since 1986, when she was first elected to Congress, though, of course, we were reminded by former Democratic Party Chair of Monroe County, Molly Clifford, last hour, that Louise Slaughter is also a lesson of persistence in the face of defeat. She ran three times before she finally won. Of course, once she started winning, she didn't stop, and she served till the end of her life at the age of 88. Let's listen to a little bit of Louise Slaughter over the years, compiled by our colleagues, including Veronica Volk. This is Louise Slaughter in her own words over the years.
I'm Louise Slaughter. I'm a congressional representative for the 25th Congressional District of New York.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Oh.
I think there are people in this crowd that never intended to take me on for life. I'm sure of that. But it has been a wonderful experience to represent such incredible people. I'm really so happy to be a part of the Renaissance of Rochester. We've been through some pretty rough times, as you know, but because of all of you in this room, we are really entering a stage of new life. Nobody in my family will go to Wegmans with me anymore because I do 20 pieces of casework between the front door and the meat department. I'm usually so glib that they nearly have to throw water over me to get me to stop. But tonight, I just want to say how proud I am to be a member of the Democrat Party and how what wonderful things that we stand for. I came, obviously, from very humble beginnings, born in eastern Kentucky in the coal fields, lived in a house owned by U.S. Steel. I know what it's like to work, wonder every day if you're going to be able to make it. And it was also at a time, ladies, when not much was expected of women except to clean up. So I like to give my life as an example of what you can do if you're extraordinarily lucky, I guess, in the first place, but second, that you are willing to do what it takes to get where you need to go. But the most important thing that I've learned in my life is that I need to be driven not by what I want to do, but for what I need to do for the people who count on me.
That is Louise Slaughter in her own words over the years, compiled by our colleague Veronica Volk, who just tweeted, Louise Slaughter was the oldest member of Congress and the first woman to lead the House Rules Committee, and she was also hilarious. She was hilarious. There's a lot of great stuff in that. We're remembering her at the age of 88, passing away, and I want to bring in her colleague, Congressman Tom Reed, who is on the line with us. Congressman, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
To be here with you.
Well, I know it's a tough day for a lot of people in our listening community here in Western New York, and I want to start by asking you what your relationship was like with her. Obviously, from opposing political parties to the extent that it is opposition, and I guess it is opposition. Tell me what your relationship was like and your interactions with Louise Slaughter.
Well, you know, obviously, being on the other side of the aisle, Louise and I had oftentimes disagreements on policy issues and things like that. But having served on the Rules Committee with her, having just spent time with her on common issues like Camp Good Days and special times and things that we did for the University of Rochester together, I can just tell you she is somebody who earned my respect as a human being. And as you just listened to that compilation of her words, it just that was my experience with her. She was just a good old heart that worked hard and did the best she could for the people she represented. And she had my respect, and my thoughts and prayers and my entire family's go out to her and hers. And now she's at peace with Bob, and I know that's a good place for her to be. And I'll just tell you, she's one of the people we got along with very well in Washington, D.C.
Tom, when you would have an issue and your position would drive her nuts and her position would drive you nuts, could you feel like you could at least talk to her and that you could listen and she could listen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we had some fun sometimes in public debates on the Rules Committee and, you know, going back and forth and being passionate and being able to disagree, but able to disagree with respect for each other. And that was my experience with her. And I always enjoyed our State of the Union events that she would host for us in her office at the Capitol, or like this past year in the Rayburn Room overlooking the Capitol. I mean, she was just a great host. And as you said, she had a great sense of humor. And I just really appreciated her. She was just somebody that rightfully so has earned the respect of colleagues from both sides of the party. And, you know, her passing is something that's going to be recognized for what it is. It's just a long life, well-led, well-earned respect, and we should be proud to as a community. And that's one of the great things about representing this community, is that it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, at the end of the day. When events like this happen, when we celebrate one's life, we come together, and we respect those that earn it. And Louise Slaughter is one of those individuals.
What will you think of first when you think of her in the future, Tom?
Just her walking through the hall. The last time I saw her was about a week and a half ago, where I talked to her, and she was walking to the car with assistance from one of her staffers, and it was right there in the Capitol. And we just said, hey, and I just yelled out to her, hey, Louise, and she stopped, and we talked for about 5 minutes, just about just small talk about the weather and about where we were going for the weekend and how things were going back home. And you know, that to me is what we were all about. When we saw each other, we respected each other, said hello to each other, and you know, I can remember passing her on the highway, driving home on Route 15, Bob driving, her in the passenger car, and we're going through by Bucknell, and she had that great restaurant in Selling Grove that she always told me to go to, and now I'll have to go there and stop and do it in her honor. But yeah, that's the kind of relationship we had, and that's the kind of person she was.
Congressman, you are someone, you know, you host town halls on issues that can be contentious, like health care. You're willing to do that. You know, when you have those events, you're going to be confronted with people who might have very vehemently different views. Louise Slaughter is someone who liked the joust when she was in Congress for more than 30 years. Some of your colleagues who are Democrats, some of your colleagues who are Republicans, don't enjoy that as much. And I think when we think about Louise Slaughter, I think it's important for us to think about someone who, agree or disagree, was willing to engage and willing to listen. And I would put you in that category. You come on just about any media program, you respond, your staff responds, you hold these kinds of events. Do you wish more of your colleagues were sort of blazing that kind of a trail that we saw with the congresswoman in terms of engaging constituents?
Well said. Absolutely. Do I think that's the style of a member that I'm drawn to, and that was what Louise Slaughter was, and I encourage other members to do it, because at the end of the day, when we engage in these arenas, it's about the battle of the ideas and recognizing The other side does not come at it from a negative perspective. We all want to help people. And if we all start our conversation from recognizing each side wants to help people at the end of the day, you just have a different philosophy of doing it. We should have that battle of ideas. And when you engage in that wit, when you engage in that debate, and Louise Slaughter was one of those individuals, I think it's good. And that's what democracy is all about. And she did it with her own unique style, and she did it with respect and that Southern, you know, she represented Rochester, but she never forgot her Kentucky heart. I was sure. I remember hearing that quite often from Louise, how she brought that Southern type of perspective, that Southern lady mentality and humor to the table. And I appreciated that for one.
All right. And Congressman, last question for you. I'll let you go then. What's it going to take to get Congress back to a place where we have more of these relationships where, you know, when we lose a member of Congress, we've got members of both parties. We had Cheryl Donolfo, county executive, who, of course, is a Republican. We have yourself on the program today. We, of course, have many Democrats who remember Louise Slaughter. But there is a lot of vitriol in Congress and Washington today. What's it going to take to change that and get it back to a place where there is more collegiality, even when we disagree?
Yeah, I think you learn the lessons of Louise Slaughter's life, and you learn the lessons, hopefully, of how we conduct ourselves in the office. And, you know, when we co-chair the Problem Solvers Caucus now, for example, that's 24 Democrats, 24 Republicans that co-chair on the Republican side, we will have some of the most adamant fights without the press, without staff around, and it's a philosophical fight. But what is happening is, I can tell you for one, Josh Gottheimer, a New Jersey Democrat, he's become one of my closest friends in Washington, D.C., because I know who he is. I know where he comes from. We respect each other, and we have a culture of trust and a friendship of trust between each other. And hopefully by doing that, we'll learn the lessons of Louise Slaughter and apply it to our day-to-day activity. And I encourage other members to do the same. And when you do that, you get true friendships, and you have the ability to advance the agenda, not for Republicans or Democrats, but at the end of the day, who we should be serving, as you heard from Louise, the people back home and the people we represent across America.
Congressman Tom Reed, I know we'll talk again on many other issues. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on your colleague Louise Slaughter today.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, thoughts and prayers to the entire community on losing one of our leaders.
All right, very good. Congressman Tom Reed joining us today, as he does so often. We appreciate that. Listeners, if you want to call the program, I see the phone continuing to ring. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. I want to grab some more of your phone calls as we continue to think about the life and legacy of Louise Slaughter. And I think we have Alan next talking about process. Is that you, Alan? Go ahead. Are you there, Alan? Go ahead. It's not. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Janet. Janet and Rush, next up. Go ahead, Janet.
Hi, this is Janet. I worked with survivors of domestic violence since about 1979, and we've really lost a giant. Louise was the original author of the Violence Against Women Act in 1994. It's a truly remarkable landmark law that, by all accounts, reduced domestic violence by about 67% in terms of the incidence of domestic violence. It allowed a lot of conversations about domestic violence to be raised, and it established prevention programs, increased some of the criminal penalties, and had mandatory training for police officers. And Louise continued to support it over the years and listen to people from all the different walks of life that work with survivor victims of domestic violence and perpetrators to see what was really needed. She's such a giant. Just one little incident I remember is when she was first elected, a lot of the people who had elected her were very excited and very impatient about, why aren't you out there getting this passed and doing this and doing that? And she explained that, especially as a new member of Congress, that one had to build relationships and coalitions, and she had to listen to other legislators and support their bills when it was feasible to do so, and that then they would listen to her. And so some of what the conversations you've been having really underline that capacity to listen to people, to build coalitions. She had that, and that's part of what, a great deal of what made her such a great Congresswoman. She'll be so deeply missed. Thanks for having this program.
And Janet, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
You know, you mentioned what so many of our listeners have brought up when we think about Louise Slaughter's legislative career, which is the Violence Against Women Act. sometimes when there is an act of Congress, it carries a name, but it is more ceremonial, symbolic. It doesn't really effectively make change. And the case you're making is that the Violence Against Women Act absolutely made a real practical change, and that we shouldn't doubt that. Is that right?
Absolutely, and in this case on many fronts. So, for example, before this bill was passed, there was no prevention funding. There was no way to go out and talk in schools, for example. So Rochester became one of the first places that had that prevention education. It funded shelters. It funded hotlines. It did tremendous work. And as I said, a 67% reduction in the domestic violence crime, that's pretty big. Part of having shelters meant that there wasn't not as many people were killed. So it's been a remarkable success.
Thanks for taking the time to call the program, Janet. Really appreciate that perspective on the work and the career of Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, who passed away today at the age of 88. I want to bring in former Rochester Mayor Bill Johnson, who is on the line with us now. Bill, thank you for taking the time on this difficult day in Western New York. How are you?
I'm fine, Evan. I'm fine.
I'm sorry, Bill. It's a kind of an in-and-out connection, so I didn't mean to step on you there. Why don't you just kind of start by sharing some of your thoughts on the passing of Louise Slaughter and your recollections on her legacy and career?
Well, I certainly can't add another word that I'm sure has been given by everybody who's called in to speak about this woman. Such a fierce advocate of Rochester, Monroe County, as a member of the Monroe County Legislature, as a member of the New York State Assembly, and for the last 31, 32 years as a member of Congress. Louise is from the old school, a throwback, where she believed you could do good by doing public service, that you can dedicate yourself and advance the cause on so many issues. And I've had the honor and privilege of working with her. And the wonderful thing I can say about Louise is all the time we didn't agree, and she lets you know that this might not be something that she enthusiastically supported, but let's see if we can find a way to help you get what you want. And that's the thing I really admired about her. You knew she was a straight talker. And if she dedicated herself to working with you, then you knew you had 110% of Louise Slaughter's time. She didn't mince words. She did not hold back. And she hired a staff over the years. I think of the people that had worked for her who upheld her standard of public service. And so you might not ever talk to Louise, even as the mayor of Rochester, you put a call through. You might not get to see Louise. You might go to her office, and you might not see Louise. But the first thing her staff would ask, what is it that you need from us? How can we help? And they do it. So clearly, she used her time in Congress. She built up the credits of seniority that are so important in Congress, and she used those to benefit the community that she served. I've never heard one hint of scandal associated with Louise Slaughter's name. Nobody's ever accused her of using that office to benefit herself and her family. It was always about Rochester. And I just saw her about a month ago. She and I were arriving to a program, and we arrived about the same time. We had a wonderful talk. And, I admire her stamina. I look at her. Louise Slaughter is 13 years older than me, and she is twice as energetic as I am. We were talking about things. She was talking about this race coming up. She's looking forward to running it. She's looking forward to winning it. She was looking forward to being a member of the House majority. She believed strongly that there was going to be this was going to be an election that restored the Democrats to power. She made no bones about her views about Donald Trump. and, you know, and the way he was ruining the country. And she was looking forward to being there to hold this man accountable. We will lose that kind of energy, that kind of dedication, that kind of determination from the loss of this woman, this wonderful, spirited public servant.
And, Bill, I got about another minute before we've got other callers and voices we certainly want to listen to on this conversation. But I want to ask you one more question on this. And, you know, Louise Slaughter, once she started winning, she never lost her elections. She won and won and won. She had that seat for the rest of her life, passing away at the age of 88. She served more than 30 years in that seat. And I don't think she just won it because of gerrymandering. Though certainly voter rolls impact districts, and there are advantages for Republicans in red districts and Democrats in blue districts. I understand that. But she was someone who, she won landslides. She won the close elections. She won in the blue wave years. She won in the red wave years. And she was in position to run again if she wanted to. I mean, she was going to have that seat as long as she damn well pleased. And I want to ask you, what do you think the lesson is for your fellow Democrats who haven't had as much electoral success? Are there lessons from Louise Slaughter on that?
Well, the lessons are she listened. Louise, you said it very well, Evan. You go back and look. Every decade, Louise Slaughter got a different district to run in. And we remember the 90s when she had that horrible district that stretched from Rochester to Buffalo. She had to adapt. She never served Buffalo. She wasn't known in Buffalo. She went there and served them with as much passion as she did her lifelong constituents. So the question is, you got to know the people that you're serving, and you've got to be able to show them that you care and that you respond. That's all people want. They want to know that they're being listened to and heard. But I think there was another thing that Louise, when she got that seat, she said, I don't care what kind of district you give me. You know, I'm going to work that district. I'm going to win that district. And that's what she did. She's the last of a dying breed. I hate to use that word, no pun intended, dying breed in Congress. The people who embraced politics as an art form of public service, not as a way to exhibit raw power, not as a way to intimidate people, but as a way to serve the public.
Bill Johnson, thanks for taking the time, Mayor Johnson. That's always good to hear from you and get your perspective on this day here in Western New York that a lot of people are thinking about Louise Slaughter. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you, Evan, for the opportunity.
You got it. That is Bill Johnson, former Rochester mayor, reflecting on Louise Slaughter, who passed away at the age of 88. Let me now turn to, let's see here. Got so many lines are buzzed, which is just callers from all kinds of backgrounds wanting to share their thoughts. I want to bring in Melissa DeRosa, who is on the line with us, I think calling from Albany. The chief of staff.
I am in Albany today.
The chief of staff for Governor Andrew Cuomo. How are you?
I'm good, Evan. Thanks for having me on.
You know, somebody told me there's a picture of you at the age of four with Louise Slaughter somewhere. Is that true?
So Louise Slaughter, I met when I was 4 years old. My father worked on her campaign, her first campaign against Fred Eckert. And I used to go door to door, you know, as a 4 year old, asking people to vote for Louise Slaughter and marching in parades for Louise Slaughter. And I just looked up to her. I remember so distinctly, she was this woman who was so tough and so smart. And this was back when there were very few females who had leadership roles in politics. It was 1986. And I remember watching her debate Fred Eckert as a four-year-old, and she just nailed him question after question. She knew her facts. She was stronger than him. She was smarter than him. Nobody thought that she could win. As you said, that seat has since, you know, the lines have obviously moved, but originally that was a very Republican seat. Nobody thought she could win. And it was an area, you know, and we're talking about in Rochester, in upstate New York, and she had this very heavy Southern Kentucky drawl. She was a woman, and she took him on and she beat him. And, you know, I'm now the chief of staff to Governor Cuomo, first female to hold this role, and I truly believe that I am here because of her. She made me see from a very young age that women could do anything and that we could play just as hard in a game that was dominated by men, and that we could have our voices heard and fight for the things that we believed in, and if we fought hard enough, we'd win. So today is a very sad day, and I'm thinking about Louise, and I'm missing her already.
Melissa, I've been asking some of the women in politics who have called the program today how much they think has changed in that way. I mean, you talk about the inspiration that you have found in Louise Slaughter as a woman who's thought about a career in politics, and the fact that in the mid-1980s, it wasn't just a district that was going to be tough for a Democrat to win, but women hadn't been winning seats in Congress in Western New York. How much do you think has changed in her 30-plus years in Congress for women in politics at all levels in New York?
I think that much has changed, but there's much more to do. You know, I last spoke to Louise in December of last year, at the end of last year. We spoke on the phone, and we were talking, and she said to me, "No, Melissa, I'm so proud of you." And I said to her, "You know, and look at you, you're the dean of the congressional delegation. When you first came in, could you ever imagine that you would be the most senior member of the New York congressional delegation and that you'd be calling the shots and keeping everybody in line?" And it was sort of this moment where, you know, she and I were reflecting on women's role in politics and how it has changed. But I still don't think that there are enough women that are elected to the state Senate, to the state assembly, at the local level, certainly not at the congressional level or in the U.S. Senate. So there's still a long way to go. But we've only gotten this far because of women like Louise Slaughter.
A couple more questions for you. I know everyone's busy, and I'll let you go, Melissa. But Melissa joining us is the chief of staff for Governor Andrew Cuomo. I don't want to get bogged down in process. I'm not sure today is the day. I've said on this program today, there will be days to speculate on what the Democrats are going to do about who they'd like to see in that seat, and Republicans, of course. There will be time for that in the future. But beyond the speculation, there is a question on the timing of it. And Governor Cuomo has, as I understand it, the option to set essentially call the clock on setting a special election. In the past, I think the last time we saw this, Governor David Patterson waited to set the clock until it would coincide with just the general election. In other words, it was close enough to an election that we're probably not going to see a special election. Is that what we should expect this time?
You know, I spoke to the governor this morning when we got the news about Congresswoman Slaughter, and we both, you know, shared our stories about her and, you know, talked about how much we missed her. But that's all we've talked about today. As you said, there's plenty of time for politics. But today, the only thing we're thinking about is Louise and her memory and her legacy. And so, you know, that question will be contemplated in short order, but it's just not anything that we're talking about today.
And what will you think of first when you think of Louise Slaughter in the future?
You know, there's two things I think of. I will always remember her standing up there and debating Fred Eckert and just, you know, kicking his butt and being so proud of her and looking at her and thinking, someday I can do that. And the second thing I think about is when I saw her a couple of months back, the governor and I were in Washington to meet with the delegation and to go to the White House and make our case on a number of issues. And the governor and Joe Crowley and I sat down with Louise, and the governor looked at her and said, "You know, Louise, Melissa marched in a parade for you." And she said, "Of course I know that, Andrew. I've known her longer than you have," with that southern accent, and just snapped right back at him and gave me a big hug. And those are the two memories I think about her today. She was a giant, and she will be missed.
Melissa DeRosa is the chief of staff for Governor Andrew Cuomo, talking about the inspiration she felt from Louise Slaughter and reflections on the career. You're right. Politics will find its time on a different day. I want to thank you for taking the time to call on a busy day. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. So many people reflecting on the loss of Louise Slaughter, who passed away. The Congresswoman served for more than 30 years, first elected in 1986. And as you just heard Melissa say, it was supposed to be an unwinnable race. And she won it. And she never lost again. She passed away at the age of 88, and we are talking to a number of stakeholders from our community. I want to bring in Dr. Bill Valenti from Trillium Health with a bit of background and a story that people may not know. So first of all, Bill, how are you? How are you taking the news today?
Well, I thought she was indestructible. We lost a friend, and advocate for people with AIDS, for the LGBTQ communities. And, you know, Louise, the microbiologist and the infectious diseases doctor, bonded over viruses and what we should do about them. So I have many, many good memories of her and very interesting conversations.
Well, and let me read something here, Bill, because, again, this is the history that our listeners might not think of first with Louise Slaughter, but it's important. We've been talking about the fact that Louise Slaughter was a microbiologist. She was a proud scientist. She was a proud supporter of science. And the amazing Megan Mack, producer of Connections, who can find anything, here's what she found. She found Louise Slaughter's remarks from 1989 when she was cutting the ribbon for the Community Health Network, I think with you, Bill. Here's what she said. Quote, The work of this clinic will transform AIDS in ways we cannot appreciate today. Along with needed medical care, Community Health Network will give patients comfort and a refuge from this illness. This clinic will provide needed medical care, hope, and maybe someday a cure, end quote. I mean, it's prescient now, almost 30 years ago. What do you remember about that time, Bill?
I remember that I remember that day in that era when we had only one drug for HIV and what seemed like on many days a hopeless situation because people were dying, couldn't access care, and we were still trying to answer a lot of the questions. But she came along and certainly offered hope to us in terms of having a congressional voice for people with AIDS. And when she cut that ribbon and said those remarks, I knew she meant it. And today we talk about ending the HIV epidemic. After 30 years, a lot of lives lost, but certainly a lot of passion from Louise in terms of helping with the Affordable Care Act and getting that passed. This Ryan White grant is this federal grant that helps subsidize care for people with HIV. Some housing issues came along. I mean, she was a really important voice for the work that we do.
So Bill,
we are just sad.
Yeah, so Bill, before I let you go, what would have been different without her in Congress?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's the voice. Because I think as people have said that, that voice from sort of a grassroots kind of thing, that was important. But the other thing is, I don't think that we would have had a scientific twist to what we do without her, because she really did believe in science and was very proud of her past career as a microbiologist. She really meant it. I mean, she walked the walk. So I think in terms of scientific application to grassroots community work was a part of her legacy and something that was really important.
Listeners, if you think about what we've been talking about for the last 90 minutes, this program today, we're honored to have become kind of a community meeting place for a lot of people to come talk. We've had the county executive, had a member of Congress, the governor's chief of staff, former party chairs, a former mayor, colleagues who've worked in Congress with Louise Slaughter, and now Dr. Bill Valenti talking about the medical impact in the community. Just a broad-ranging career from so many different angles, and we're grateful for that. Dr. Valenti, I know, you know, that it's easy to look at someone's work and just pick up one or two little things, but it sounds to me like our callers, John in Rochester, who just called, left an emotional message for us saying that he had known Louise since 1995, and he works closely with the gay community, and Louise worked hard for LGBTQ rights, that she's underappreciated for that. There's just so much there, Bill, and it sounds like you know that it's important to keep that broad range in mind when we think about a career like this. Some final thoughts from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that now it's up to us and other people to carry on.
Bill Valenti joining us from Trillium Health. Thank you, Bill. Always good to talk to you and wish the circumstances were different, but we certainly appreciate Bill's time there. Listeners, we're squeezing as much as we possibly can on this day. Louise Slaughter, the member of Congress since 1986, passing away today at the age of 88. Tom and Pat Smith write to us and said, we are too choked up to call and talk about this, but this is one of the kind of the emotional comments that we've gotten. Tom and Pat said the following. She won our vote when building the super collider was an issue. Her opponent said that he was waiting to hear Albany's position on the issue. Louise Slaughter said that her people didn't want it, and so she did not support it being built here. Simple as that. She had our loyalty from then to today. She always stood up for her people first, over Albany or Washington. We will miss her ethics, intelligence, and good old spunk representing us in the House. We loved you, Louise. That's from Tom and Pat in Bushnell's Basin. Just another example. And let me grab Michelle in Rochester, who also wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, this is Michelle Casey. I'm the CEO at Planned Parenthood of Central and Western New York. I met Louise in the 80s when we were working at the Rotary Sunshine Camp tent selling hot dogs to raise money for kids at the camps at the LPGA. And, you know, she was the same person then as she was till the day she passed away. She was like an example of true grit and action. She had endless energy and extremely high ethical standards. I was on a panel today talking about women and girls, and she was a true mentor for many and was a champion for women and families and really helping people to have the opportunity to meet their full potential. She just is a real hero for me.
Michelle, do you have concerns going forward with the loss of Louise Slaughter in Congress about what that means for women's health care and reproductive rights?
Of course I do. She was an extremely effective champion. She was very outspoken and knew how to get things done. I think, though, that the times that we're in, that it's important to focus on keeping her legacy going. And I'm sure that somebody will pick up the torch and that the community will support that.
And Michelle, before I let you go, because we're going to be turning to Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul soon, we've got more calls to take. What do you think is the legacy of a woman like Louise Slaughter, who was a scientist, who was fiercely devoted to what she would describe as women's rights and women's issues, but came into Congress at a time when it was mostly men. In fact, in Western New York, it was all men winning congressional seats at the time. We still have an imbalance when it comes to gender in Congress, though that has started to change over the years. But what do you think the importance of having strong women like Louise Slaughter at a time when there are still debates over reproductive health and so many other things? And you've got male allies, but what do you think the message and the importance is to have women in that role helping legislate at a time like this?
I think having strong women being able to speak for women is crucially important, because it's, you know, the roles that we play, I think you can only intimately know if you've been in that position. And so having somebody with that strong of a voice and endless energy to keep it moving forward is critical. She was really a pioneer, and I'm so grateful to have known her and for all of her activism and advocacy. Couldn't have asked for a better congressperson.
Michelle Casey from Planned Parenthood of Western New York. Thanks for calling the program today, Michelle.
Thank you.
Let me turn now to Alan in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Alan.
Hello. Can you understand me okay?
I can, yes. Go ahead.
All right, good. Okay, Bluetooth comes through. Anyway, I just wanted to, I called before and had to hang up, but I wanted to talk about the process of electing somebody to fill her chair. I'm trying to avoid the word replace, because there isn't any. And how does that process work, and do you know if anybody might have their eye on that seat? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. It's a valid question on a day like today, because a lot of people are wondering what that is. And every time something like this happens, I've got to relearn how it works. And I'm going to explain it as best I can, Alan, and with a hat tip to producer Megan Mack, who's been digging into what the law calls for. Governor Andrew Cuomo has to call a special election. He has to do that. But he, as far as we understand, it doesn't mean that he has to do it now. And it may not actually end up being a special election, because when he calls for a special election formally, it starts a clock. I don't know if it's 70, 80, 90 days. It's in that range. But there is a clock that the election has to happen in that range. But if he waits to formally call for a special election until, say, I guess it would be July, August, whatever it is, then the special election would fall on the same day as the general election, essentially invalidating a need for a special election. And the last time something like this happened, when Eric Massa left Congress, our understanding is that then-Governor David Patterson did exactly that. He waited. The special election ended up being on the same day as the general, and so that took care of that. And there's a lot of expectation that that will happen this time around, because if the governor calls for a special election now, and a special election happens in, say, June, then someone serves in that seat for 4 or 5 months, and then there's the general election, and special elections are expensive. So there's a lot of expectation that it wouldn't make much sense to do that, but we don't know, and that's not up to us, and that's it's not up to most people. It's up to the governor's office. His chief of staff on this program earlier this hour, Melissa DeRosa, said she spoke to the governor this morning. Their minds are on honoring Louise Slaughter, not yet thinking about when a special election would be appropriate or if there should be a special election apart from the general this year. And I take that at face value. I don't think that that is Melissa DeRosa spinning. I think that is someone she wanted to call this program to talk about one of her heroes in Louise Slaughter. And I take the point. But I hope that answers it, Alan. So it's possible we'll see a special election for that seat before November. It's also possible that November will be the general. It'll technically also be the special, and that'll be the end of that. I don't know. That's as we understand it. Please, someone call me and tell me if I'm wrong, because I have a microphone, and that would be a big problem if I'm wrong about this, but I think that's what the way we understand it right now. Listeners, we've got a little bit of time left. It's 844-295-TALK. If you want to call the program, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. It's 263-9994. And we've been reading some statements as well from members of public service who didn't have the time to call the program today but wanted to go ahead and share some of their thoughts. Here's a statement from Senator Rich Funke. He says, quote, "Congresswoman Louise Slaughter was a staunch supporter of our community for decades, from the county legislature to the New York State Assembly to the halls of Congress. She worked tirelessly to move our regional economy forward and to champion women's rights. I had great respect for her. Louise was tenacious, determined, and fought hard for what she believed in, yet compassionate. May God bless her family and many friends at this difficult time." That is from State Senator Rich Funke. Here is a statement from Assembly Majority Leader Joe Morelli regarding the passing of Congresswoman Louise Slaughter. Quote, "For nearly 50 years, Louise Slaughter was a tireless advocate for our community and one of our nation's most fearless champions for fairness, equality, and justice. Her work and legacy will forever be an inspiration to me, and I am truly honored to have had the opportunity to call her my friend and partner in public service. As a community and a nation, we mourn her passing, but take comfort in the knowledge that Louise's legacy and contributions will be felt for many, many years to come. I offer my deepest condolences to the entire Slaughter family during this difficult time. Please know that you are surrounded by the prayers and gratitude of an indebted community." End quote. That's from Assembly Majority Leader Joe Morelli. And this is a statement from Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren. Quote, "I am deeply saddened to learn about the passing of Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, who was the embodiment of leadership and tireless advocacy for her constituents. I offer my condolences to her family and friends in this time of mourning. From the Monroe County Legislature to the New York State Assembly to the halls of Congress, Congresswoman Slaughter set an example of public service that put people first. The citizens of Rochester, along with women and minorities across our entire country, have lost a voice in Washington, but the legacy of Louise Slaughter is truly enduring, and I am confident her accomplishments will benefit our city and nation for generations to come." That is from Mayor Lovely Warren of the city of Rochester. Let's go ahead and grab another phone call, and this is Grace in Rochester next. Go ahead, Grace.
One of the things that nobody has talked about so far that I've heard is her support for the arts. She was an advocate in Congress for funding for the NEA and other arts organizations. She was also a strong supporter of local arts organizations, and I've heard her speak before concerts. This fall, I sing in the Rochester Oratorio Society. We sang Amy Beach's Mass. She came and spoke before the performance, appreciating both the fact that we were putting on a work by a woman composer and the ways in which local arts organizations were important for the community. And then she stayed for the concert and applauded enthusiastically. So she will definitely be missed by the people in this community who are involved in the arts for that dimension, as well as all the many others that people have brought up.
Yeah, I'm appreciative of you mentioning that, Grace. It was toward the top of the first hour at noon that our CEO, Norm Silverstein, mentioned that Louise Slaughter was a great advocate for the arts and for public broadcasting. That, of course, is central to us and our mission. But no doubt about it, that is true. That was consistent, and we appreciate that. And so for her, is that what you will think of first, Grace, when you think of Louise Slaughter in the future?
One of the many things.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Grace. Thanks for the reminder. It is a great point. And in some ways, it seems self-centered of us to talk about Louise Slaughter's devotion to public broadcasting. But as you heard from our CEO at about 12:15 today on this program, it was just 15 days ago that he met with her talking about protecting funding for public broadcasting. She was devoted to that, committed to that in a steadfast and sincere way. And we always appreciated that about her. Let's bring in the Lieutenant Governor. Kathy Hochul is on the line with us now. And Lieutenant Governor Hochul, thanks for taking the time to call the program. How are you?
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, can you first share your thoughts on what comes to mind with the passing of Louise Slaughter and what the Congresswoman has done in her career to elevate the career of other women, which I know is central to one of your missions, Lieutenant Governor, and the broad range of goals and successes she had in her career. Why don't you kind of take us through what you think of when you think of Louise Slaughter?
Sure. I appreciate this opportunity on this really sad day for so many of us who had the privilege to call her friend. And I would say that when she first ran for Congress, I was a young staffer, and I was so excited. I came over from Buffalo to Rochester to help encourage her to run and to help support her campaign. And when she was elected, you know, it was so exciting for women because we'd never had a woman elected to represent Western New York in our entire history. And so she, since that time, to me, has someone I held out as a role model, someone who accomplished what had never been done before. So then when the opportunity came for me to run for an open seat in the special election back in 2011, Louise Slaughter absolutely embraced my candidacy. She was there with advice, encouragement, support, going to rallies, and she was tireless in her advocacy to help me get elected as a woman, but also as a fellow Western New Yorker. So fast forward to we take our seats in Congress. We so often sat together in between speeches and debates and just really sort of commiserated about the state of our country and where it was going and what we could be doing to help women and working families and making sure we protected the Affordable Care Act, which became a very volatile issue in my election for sure. And she was just always so graceful. And but you know, one thing to think of, she was a pit bull. She was so tenacious. And no one could get her to back down when she believed in something. And I don't know if her district knew how important the role was she had as a member, ranking member of the Rules Committee, a position that for a short time she served as chair, first woman ever to do that. But the Rules Committee is the committee that goes into operation at the end of the workday when all the traditional business is done. This committee meets sometimes through the night to determine what legislation they're going to allow to be considered on the floor the next day. And that's where a lot of internal fights are fought to keep really bad policies off the floor. And so Louise was always there, and she never looked tired. She always was energetic, and she just fought so hard. And my last time we were together, the two of us did a forum in Rochester to put a spotlight on how harmful that the new tax bill that people think is a reform, but it's really going to be very detrimental to New Yorkers because it eliminates the state and local tax deduction. So we had a rally of people. We called out the Congress to not pass this, and when they did pass it, we said this has to be changed because this is going to hurt our own state. I'll also point out, with respect to women's issues, back in 1994, very few people were speaking about the need to protect women from domestic violence. My mother had been an advocate back in the late 70s and early 80s, and it was a very lonely time for people who were saying, this is an injustice. Women should not have to endure this in the sanctity of their home. And Louise was absolutely instrumental in passing the Domestic Against Violence Women Act, Against Women Act, and she was so instrumental in making sure that this got through. The Violence Against Women Act has been reauthorized many times, but she was one of the early champions. She's also a founding member of the Congressional Pro-Choice Caucus to continue promoting reproductive health using her science background and using that as a platform to advocate for women. But the two of us stood together to never have repeal of the Affordable Care Act, something that in my district, I would say, contributed to my loss. But she even called me very shortly after I lost my seat and was there for me and certainly my race for lieutenant governor. It's given us many more times to work together. And I will miss her not as a champion for women and working class families and the underserved, but as someone I just considered a dear friend that I could always go to. And she had a laugh. I loved her accent. It seemed so out of place in upstate New York, and she seemed to relish that. And this district was so fortunate to have her as their voice since 1987, a long distinguished career. And I will conclude by saying she went out the way she wanted to. She always said, I'm going to leave here, go out with my boots on. And she was working literally up until just a few days ago. And this is exactly what Louise would have wanted to be, the culmination of her career at the end. And I'll just add one more final point when I think about it. She was a champion for the Stock Act, which required members of Congress who have to disclose their financial holdings in companies because, as we know, this could have an impact on how you vote on important matters or how you would make a decision, who you take contributions from. And she was a lone voice on this for so long until there was an expose on 60 Minutes. And the very next day, countless members wanted to be part of her initiative, whereas before they had not, because they felt that this is now the time to support this. And so even after this was passed, she worked very hard to press members of Congress who she thought violated this and violated the spirit and the letter of this. And so her advocacy for ethics and holding fellow members of Congress to the highest standards is something that I so admire her for and will be always be part of her legacy.
Lieutenant Governor Hochul, thank you for taking the time to call the program and share your thoughts on a day that has been difficult for a lot of people in politics on both major parties. We know that, but I know it's not an easy day. So thank you so much for taking the time to call the program.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul calling the program. Let me try to squeeze in just a little bit more from our listeners. John and Henrietta, got to keep it tight. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I can keep it tight because it's just a short but very significant to me. We ran into Louise standing in line in a mall, a big mall near her. And I said to my wife, I think that's Louise Slaughter. And she overheard and she says, yes, I am. And she was so gracious and so authentic. I don't think there was a fake bone in her body. We're going to really miss her.
Well, thank you, John. That's we always love hearing stories like that where there's a beautiful interaction and there is not any artifice to it. We've heard that so often with Louise Slaughter. Last phone call from David in Penfield. Again, got to keep it tight. Go ahead, David.
Thanks for having me. I work in a place where there's a lot of conservative people, and I'm really concerned with the negativity that's coming from them regarding her death. Some of them are frankly ecstatic, and I'm wondering what it speaks to the divisiveness in our country these days, and how do we deal with that?
David, thanks. I appreciate the phone call, and that's too bad because that's not a comment on Louise Slaughter's politics. It's a comment on anybody's disposition of being happy at a passing of a public servant like that simply because you disagree with their politics. I want to believe that that is not most people who didn't like her politics. In fact, I'm certain of that. What we've seen for these 2 hours is that Louise Slaughter had a lot of not just colleagues, but friends in Congress. And I think what you just heard from the lieutenant governor is that that didn't make her weak or soft. She was tough. She was fierce and driven and would not back down on issues that she really believed in. But that didn't mean that she didn't have good relationships, friendly relationships with those she disagreed with. That's the model we've got to get back to. And David, I should say, to the extent that you've got colleagues who are expressing those feelings, I don't know, maybe just start the conversation. Let's all have a conversation about what politics means and why it's become so, so deeply personal and painful. Louise Slaughter, passing away at the age of 88, left us with a lot of things to think about. Yeah, we're selfish at WXXI. We think a lot about public broadcasting, and frankly, we hope our listeners do too. Louise Slaughter left a legacy of supporting that. We hope that continues. She left a legacy of supporting causes that you may or may not have supported yourself. But she was someone who responded to constituents, whether it was at the grocery store, at the airport, in Washington or in Congress, wherever it was. And we appreciate that no matter what the political background or persuasion is. I want to thank everyone who took the time to call the program. We heard from so many members of our community today. Our thanks to Mike Black, Megan Mack, and the wonderful team, Veronica Volk, Randy Gorman, and more, helping produce this program. Have a nice weekend. And again, our thoughts with the family of Louis Slaughter.